parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Well, welcome home, neighbors. My name is Chad Pennycuff. I am your host here at the My DVC Points Community Hall Live podcast. And I would like to welcome back to the show. It's been a very long time and way too long, but welcome back, Alicia. How are you doing tonight, Alicia?
I would say I'm happy to be back, but it's snowing in Michigan and it was 90 yesterday in Florida.
Well, that's pretty much the sum of your trip report, right? From 90 to snow. So, yeah, okay. Well, we'll dive into a little bit deeper coming up. But let's welcome back to the show our co-host from the DVC Newscast and also the author over at dvchelp.com, the internet's leading source on availability in DVC, Mr. Pete Shibley. So, hey, Pete, how you doing today,
Chad.
Buddy?
Hey, Alicia, how you doing?
Hi, Pete.
Did I build you up good enough there, Pete?
Oh, wow. That was great. I'm blushing.
Okay, good. Good.
Turned as red as my shirt.
You do have some pretty cool charts there if you take the time to figure out how to read them. We have to do an episode on those sooner or later, Pete.
Yeah, they are. They're cool. We have a lot of information on there.
Yeah, and that is dvchelp.com. And great little site. And I really appreciate it for kind of figuring out what do I need to do, you know, to come back in. And it really did. It helped me sell my beach club contract, Pete, because we go in the summer and that's when we want to go to beach club.
Right.
And that's the one time a year you don't have to have points there to get there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So great site. Very, very helpful. And then let's welcome back our normal DVC Community Hall podcast co-host, Mr. Brad. Hey, Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, everybody. By the way, I don't want to one-up you, Alicia, but last week it was 88 degrees here, and 24 hours later it was 29 and snowing. Didn't have to leave town, same place.
Leave town.
Right? Yeah, just stay here. That's an apocalypse right there.
Got it. You
need a lot of wardrobe for that.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. That was crazy. Anyway, hey, guys.
Yep. So anyways, today's show is all about trip reports because Alicia just got back and then Pete just got back. And so we want to know four basic questions today. What was awesome? What was unexpected? What wasn't so great? And what tips do you have for everybody else? So let's start off with this first question here. What was awesome on your trip? Alicia, go ahead.
I'm going to let ladies go first.
No, thanks. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been listening in. Some people were happy. Some people weren't happy. So I was super excited by the wait times. I know this sounds funny, but so we found, I did more park days than I ever do. Because we were testing out how to be annual pass holders, even though I couldn't be annual pass holders. So we went to 4 days. That's a lot for us Galindas. We're usually a 1 day and park hop, and we usually get 3 parks done in 1 day. This year we went to 4 parks in 4 days and we were there for 6 days. So that was a lot for us. So I was impressed by Monday, Tuesday, even a little bit on Thursday, dead. Right. So, you know, we went on the Yeti so many times I was going to, yak on the Yeti. So
that was the awesome part, huh?
That was the awesome part. And we're used to always going at holiday times. So for us, wait times are pretty normal to be 45 minutes to 2 hours to 4 hours for some things. So for us to have, I don't think we waited for not one single thing any of the days for more than 45 minutes at all and anything. So that was even more awesome than I thought it was going to be, is to have walk-ons on everything and no fast passers. I get all you fast passers, but without a fast passer in front of me, those lines never stopped. You never stopped walking. You get in line and you just can kind of plunk all the way on up through. So it was
kind of
nice.
Meandering, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay. Well, Pete, what was awesome on your trip?
Well, I thought I agree with what Alicia just said, like during, especially during the week, we were there over the weekends. The weekends were pretty full. I wouldn't ever call it packed, but the weekends were pretty full. But during the week, especially Animal Kingdom and Epcot, very short lines. I also really like how they handled how they're handling the whole COVID situation, that they're really working to keep people masked. We love Food and Wine. And so that's going to be my plus, too, is I really liked how they handled Food and Wine. They didn't have as many booths, but they still had like 20 booths, 22, 23 booths. And, they had extra tables out. You weren't allowed to eat just standing, walking around, but you had to like be stationary to eat. But there was enough around to like, you still got the feel of Food and Wine without the massive, massive crowds that they usually are. Our first day there was Saturday and like, it wasn't empty. It was a pretty decent crowd there, but I turned to my wife and said, we've been there on a Saturday, Food and Wine, and like you can't move.
Yeah.
And it was it was more like a Tuesday of Food and Wine where, there's people, but it's not too bad. So I think, overall, I think it's really nice that they've set that mark at 25% and held it there, because quite honestly, like I was thinking, if they went to 50% with the current requirements on the rides and cleaning and everything like that, it would be terrible. But with 25%, it was great.
See, I was there holiday weekends in October, mm-hmm. and I thought that was pretty horrible. I mean, you start looking down and you start seeing an hour and a half for Flight of Passage. Wait an hour and a half for Flight of Passage.
Hour and a half is nothing for Flight of Passage. I waited 4 hours. Stop.
No.
You're spoiled.
See, that's the thing is like, for me, the lines weren't the best part because we're so used to using the fast passes and taking advantage of rope drop and fast passes. And there were some long lines. There were some days, I said Animal Kingdom, not too bad. Even Flight of Passage, I think we got on in like, we waited till the end of the day, but we got on in like 45 minutes. So there was some times where it wasn't too bad, but I waited in line for some rides that I would never normally wait that long for. So. Yeah,
but we rope dropped and we went on every single ride in every park, and we were still done an hour and a half to 2 hours before the park closed so we can go back to the pool. Like we went on everything, even with the lines. And like the lines were good. I mean, like that's gave us time to play on our phone and make TikToks while we were waiting in line. Like,
I don't know how you got away with that at Hollywood Studios, because that I did not see at Hollywood. There was, well, I shouldn't say that. We ended up, it ended up pouring rain about 1-2 o'clock, and we were going to stay. We had a,
was it Tuesday?
It was on a Tuesday. Yeah.
I was there too. Yeah, once you all left, it was great.
Yeah, well, we had done pretty much everything we wanted to do, so we were pretty happy. Except we had gotten a boarding pass for Rise of the Resistance, but the number was at like 73 or something like that. And when we left at like 3 o'clock, they were only on like 35 or something. We were like, well, there's probably no way we're staying to the boardwalk anyways. So we ended up lifting back to the boardwalk because I didn't want to walk back in the pouring rain. But we sat there and we were actually doing a puzzle and then watching our boarding group. And about an hour before park closed, our boarding group popped up. We're like, okay, let's go back.
Run.
Hustle.
Yeah, that worked out well. Yeah, we rope dropped that day.
You're right. If you could probably do most everything in a day there, but everything had pretty long lines. We hit Toy Story Land right at the start, so we actually were able to do not Slinky Dog, because Slinky Dog immediately had like an 80-minute wait, but we did Toy Story Mania and the Alien Saucers before the park opened, officially opened, because that's one hint.
Right.
Park opening is 10 a.m. It's not 10 a.m. It's like 9 a.m. Because we got there at like 9:15 and there are already a billion people in the park. So
I was there at 8:15. So we got we were there super early, but we got Mickey and Minnie, and then we went to Slinky Dog, and so I got three rides done, and then the regular Toy Story, all three of those done before even close to 10 o'clock. So it was you gotta get there. So it was fun. But I didn't mind. I was happy with the waits. I was nervous after hearing you guys all, and especially during the week, it was great.
Yeah.
Did you make honestly, it on Rise, other than Alicia? Toy Story Mania, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I did make it on Rise. My number was like 29, so I must have been faster on my little thingy.
Yeah, we didn't get the 10 a.m. group. We got the 2 p.m. group. So and we were, it was like pouring rain, and we were like huddled in a little area next to the Frozen sing along. And there were like 15 people, and they're all on their phones trying to stay social distancing at the same time, trying to stay dry. And
yeah, it was hilarious because like we just went, okay, so we wanted this whole like Star Wars immersion. Like, so we went through all of them kind of all at the same time. And we started with like the first one, like what was the Star Tours. And then Izzy, our adorable little 8-year-old, which y'all know, she was the spy. So my husband had a lot of fun, you know, making her the spy. So when we went on Rise, he was very adamant telling everybody that she was the spy, and she freaked out, like screaming, crying.
Oh no.
We're those kind of parents though. This is fun for us. It's okay. So we had a great time. She's probably scarred for life, but you know,
I was going to say, now she's got something to tell her therapist when she grows up.
Right. Fourth kids.
My dad took me on to Rise of the Resistance and ratted me out as being the spy.
I almost went to prison on the planet. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, we ate at Olga's cantina, and Drew he's got a sword now. And so it's fun. We had a whole Star Wars kind of immersion day. It was fun.
Awesome. I take it you guys made it on to Millennium Falcon as well?
Yes. Run? Yes.
Okay. This was your family's first trip since Star Wars opened?
Was it? Well, we made it on, we just haven't done Rise or Mickey and Minnie. Those two were new to us.
Okay.
So. And Mickey and Minnie was so fun.
It was great. It was great. I don't get any. I mean, I don't think it's super negative reviews, but a lot of people, there's some reviews just kind of like, it's okay. I thought it was so much fun. I mean, it wasn't, you know, there's maybe it's more complaining about getting rid of the great movie ride, but.
Oh yeah. I can see that. But this one is made for all.
Yeah.
It was really
a lot of fun. I liked it a lot.
It's going to be tough because that one is always going to have an hour and a half to 2 hour wait because every single human is going to want to go on it. Like everyone is going to want to go on it.
You nailed it though, that everybody's got a, you know, I had the same experience back in August that you had. I happened to get there early and they opened up the queue. So you got on and rode it in 5 minutes and, you know, you went straight on, rode it, got off, and you still had an hour before the park was going to open. It was like, okay. So
And
we get there early, go straight back to Mickey and Minnie, get on it first thing.
Get there early, because as I said, we got there, park opened at 10, we got there at 9:15. It was 85-minute wait for Mickey and Minnie at 9:15. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I thought you were saying it was 85 after all day.
I think it was 80 when we, it might've been 75 when we got in line. We got in line right around lunchtime and we actually got on in about 55. So it really wasn't too bad, except that it downpoured in the middle of the wait. So we were all standing there, you know, nobody got out of line. We're all sitting there in the pouring rain. Yeah. That's, Mary's saying I had to wait for over, I don't normally wait for over 30 minutes for anything.
Either. No, nothing.
And If you're gonna do that, you're gonna miss the top attractions right now. You just kind of have to accept.
Unless you go on like Monday, Tuesday, you know, and like just skip Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah,
There you go. And so Amy was saying that they were there last week and found the wait times to be about 50 to 70% of what they posted, and that we never waited more than an hour for anything. So
no, I don't think there wasn't. We waited more than an hour for Smuggler's Run, but just barely. I don't think there was anything we waited more than that for. So yeah, I would agree. It was about an hour was actually the maximum wait time. It really depends also on the cleaning schedule, because
they actually
you know, Alicia was saying the lines move, and they do, they move. Then all of a sudden they'll stop, and at first you're like, well, why isn't the line moving? And that'll go on for like 10 minutes and then it'll start moving again. What it is the way they do it is they shut down the ride and they clean all the vehicles. So they pass all the vehicles through. So depending on how fast, they can run the vehicles through depends how long the shutdown was. We were there watching We were inside enough that we saw them do it at Small World. So Small World wait time was actually very long. The whole time we were there, it was around 40 minutes.
Because I skipped that one.
Yeah, they're only loading like one family per boat. And then when they shut down the ride to clean, it's like 20 minutes because of how big the ride is. So, and then the same thing happened on Everest. We were literally the second group from getting on the ride when they shut it down to clean. But there they can cycle all the cars through in like, you know, 6 minutes or something like that. So they just cycle them all through, started it back up again, and we were good to go. So it really depends on the ride. And I think what they're doing is they're building that shutdown time into the wait times. And that's why you see it's amazing. You'll see Small World has a longer wait than Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Because
I imagine it takes longer to clean those boats.
It takes longer to clean it, and it's loading so inefficiently. Peter Pan is pretty much loading at normal efficiency because there's only two riders per car, so they just keep putting two riders on a car like they normally do. And you know, a lot of the rides they can't put full. That's one of the problems with Rise of the Resistance is the cars take eight people, but they're only putting one group per car. So if there's two people in your group,
that'll change in 2 days, right?
Yeah, they're putting plexiglass in so they can put two groups in, so that should improve things. But
you add the amount of money that they have poured in, and I think I was the first one to say that like eons ago, how much they have spent for the protection for everybody is just, they've knocked it out of the park between the hand washing stations and the sanitizing stations and the dividers that they put on every single thing. And just even those little, you know, like stand here, stand here, stand here. And I don't think that those are going to go away. That's going to be part of the Disney culture for a long time. So, you know, cause once they're in place, I think it really will make you feel safe.
The plexiglass out too quickly.
Yeah. And Gina was saying here back in July, Hollywood was the worst. It was the worst in July. It was the worst in August. It was the worst in October when I went.
Yeah. It's
just because there's no shows, right?
Well, plus they've got more top, most wanted rides out of town too. So you got Rise, you've got Mickey. Well, those two are the top rides people are going to want in the whole of Disney World. So you start stacking that many, and then Slinky is popular. There's so many big named ticket items and so few other things to take the crowds away. Yeah.
Between the three, since Flight of Passage, you know, they've got Slinky Dog, Millennium, Rise of the Resistance,
pretty much everything there.
Attractions.
Yeah. Pretty much everything there was 40 to 60 minutes most of the day. It was pretty long. So we missed, we didn't do Slinky Dog. I won't wait that long for that ride. And I would have liked to have done Tower of Terror and, but we ended up, as I said, if it hadn't rained, we would have pretty much done everything, but it was just poor. I I'd gotten poured on the day before and I was like, I've had enough of this. So
we went to the bar. We didn't even notice it rained.
Well, what was unexpected on your guys' trips? What didn't you anticipate? Was there anything? Cause I mean, we've done quite a few trip reports on the show so far, and we've heard a bunch of them elsewhere. So I kind of want to know what was different. What didn't meet expectations?
So I would say my unexpected, before we were the first ones that said, we are not getting in that car ever again. Like we drove there, we're done. We're taking Disney transportation for everything. This year we did not feel, we were like, we've got our car, we've got free parking. Let's just take our car everywhere. Mm-hmm. So even though we stayed at Copper Creek, we drove everywhere other than Rope Drop, which you have to lift. And then to get in early. And we took the boat to the Magic Kingdom. Other than that, we drove to Disney Springs, which that one takes a lot of asterisks to park there if you're going to go at night, because everybody goes there in their secret parking spots over by Cirque du Soleil. So just skip the parking ramps and go right up to Cirque du Soleil and go the back way in.
It's like the Strawberry Lot or something like that.
Just tell everybody that.
Sorry. That one was helpful, you know, because we wanted to go see The Mandalorian, but I wanted popcorn because I haven't had popcorn, you know, movie theater popcorn. So we went to AMC and got like two giant buckets of popcorn. That's all I wanted on Friday night.
Did a showing of The Mandalorian at AMC?
I did at you know, Copper Creek. You know, we put it on the big screen and back there. But I wanted the popcorn. This is, you know, so we went downtown, got the popcorn, brought it back. Went,
got the popcorn, brought it back. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, that's me. So, yeah. So, but I think, you know, driving our own car, they also social distance our cars. When we were parking at, like, let's say we drove to Epcot and, like, they parked it so that it was, like, our car. And then there was, like, three spaces and then another car parked. And we get free parking. So that's nice. But if it is busy, like, let's say you were parking at on a Saturday and it was super packed. Well, for, I think we get in for half price, like $20, $22, you can park in the preferred parking and then you're in the front four rows. So just the whole, if you are nervous at all about, you know, COVID or any germs at all, for that matter, anything, driving your own vehicle, it was definitely knocked it out of the park for our family this year. And that whole time getting there, we didn't have to wear a mask. The second we were back to our car, got to take our mask off. So I just felt like we, you know, kind of had some bonus breathing room for that.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We've never had a car staying on property. And this time we decided to rent the car for the week. More for the same kind of reason that we didn't really want to take the buses. And I have to say, we had two Magic Kingdoms days, and the first day we drove, and boy, it was kind of a pain because you have to, I mean, there's just a lot of people coming in. And one of the things they do now is they hold closed the parking lots until like 45 minutes before rope drop. So you're basically waiting in this long line to park. So the second Magic Kingdom day, we said, okay, let's try the bus this time. So we went down to the bus at like 8 a.m. and I got down to the bus and there were literally like 150 people in line waiting for the bus to Magic Kingdom. And they're only putting 15, 20 people on a bus at a time.
Yeah, like six families.
Yeah. Well, there's
six segments.
Yeah. What they're doing with the buses, they're cordoning them off and they have like, eight areas
and then six zones.
And they
tell you where to sit. Yeah. They
right. Exactly. Which is great. But,
except if you're rope dropping.
Right. It was. I turned to my wife. I was like, nah, we're going to drive. We went to the car and we drove anyways to Magic Kingdom. And I guarantee we got to the park before, cause we did make rope drop that day. And I was like, we would have never waited cause the buses don't come any faster. No. They're still coming every 15, 20 minutes. So if you're waiting, if you're waiting four or five buses, forget it. So yeah, we were very happy to have a car. In fact, the only time we rode the bus was our friends were staying at Animal Kingdom. We actually parked at Animal Kingdom, bused over to the park, Animal Kingdom Park. And then we had dinner at Sanaa after the park closed. So we actually parked at Animal Kingdom Lodge and bus to Animal Kingdom. That was the only time we rode the bus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anything else unexpected here?
I guess I'd like to say the mobile ordering, I don't normally do it because we like to be able to like see the pictures of the menus and everything like that and figure out what we want to eat. But the mobile ordering is mandatory. So you have to kind of figure it out from looking at your phone. But beyond not being able to look at the pictures of the stuff, I thought it was really successful. It was actually way more convenient to eat because what you would do is you would order ahead of time and they would give you an arrival time. And most of the time it was like within a half hour, like it might be 15 minutes away or something, but it was pretty close or you could book further out. But anyways, you'd put in your order. This is what I want to order. Then you'd have to get there. Select I'm here, and then about 5 minutes later they'd let you in. You walk up, you get your food. They're keeping control on how many people are in the place, so you're not searching for a table. There's plenty of tables open. You're not, you know, it's not all crammed in like it usually is. It was the most pleasant quick service that I've ever seen there, because usually it's just such a mess with how crowded it is, and then you're waiting in these long lines for your food and you're trying to juggle your tray through all the people. And Amy just said Pecos Bills. I did notice that I thought the tables there were a little more together, but the same thing getting the food, it was very easy. So that's something I wasn't really expecting was how handy the quick service was.
I've been doing those for years. Love doing the mobile ordering. The hard part is if you have any allergies, I'm gluten-free, dairy-free. Yeah. And so they have an allergy like menu, but when you have so many issues like I have, you have to choose. Are you going to be gluten-free or are you going to be dairy-free today? Like, so like every time I'd have to go up and be like, is this gluten-free and dairy-free? And then the lady was like, oh my God, it's not. I'm so sorry. And then here comes out of the back a different kind of chicken nuggets or whatever that are gluten-free, dairy-free, so which wasn't on the menu. So I had a little bit of difficulty this year with it, but they were super quick to, and we did a lot of sit down. We had three steak dinners this year, this week. And so out of those ones, I never had to do an online mobile ordering or anything. I always had my allergy menu that I got to look from. And so they were still great with all of the allergens that are out there. They did a very good job of trying not to kill me. So that they did a good job.
That's awesome. Now, to Amy's point here about the restaurants being more crowded than expected, did you find that to be the case anyplace? It's hard to get in the restaurants. Like if you didn't book it 60 days in advance and they're all gone, it was just hard to find anything.
We had booked everything ahead, so it wasn't really a problem. I didn't notice the issue. She just mentioned Sanaa. We ate at Sanaa, and I didn't think that was overcrowded. As I said, I will say Pecos Bills, it did seem like the tables were maybe a little closer than I would have liked to have seen. Every place else seemed pretty well distanced, I thought.
Yeah, we did Be Our Guest. We did Topolino's for dinner, and we did the Le Cellier, I think is what you said, for the best steak, which I gotta say they're the best rolls down there. So
got it.
Yeah, but so
we did Le Cellier, but not the best steak.
So yeah, it's not.
I don't know, we didn't mind it. It was good.
So it was best cheese soup. It was a good steak, but
yeah, there you go. Cheese soup, right?
Yep. Good pretzel rolls. Yeah. Good pretzel.
Holly was saying that they've never rented a car after flying in, but waiting for the buses with three littles in limited capacity makes us nervous, and that they are now renting a car and driving everywhere except Magic Kingdom, which would be a boat from Copper Creek.
Yeah. Sounds
yeah,
and
like
they did a great job
plan.
On the boats.
Yeah. Yep, as well.
And yeah, we rode the ferry, and you know, it was one of those things where they had green spots all over the ferry, and they were like, pick your spot and just stay there. So they did a really good job of keeping social distance. The monorail, they would only put two groups per monorail, one for each seat. I mean, it was everything. I was just, you know, I kind of knew about the rides. Maybe this is a little unexpected too, but I didn't think about all the other little things like the transportation, even the stores. The stores had lines to get into the stores. They would limit the capacity in the stores so it didn't get too crowded.
And I liked that.
It was nice because you're not like elbow to elbow with people. Generally the waits weren't very long. And so it wasn't like you're waiting 20 minutes to get into a store. It was maybe 5 minutes, but you know, it was kind of nice that they kept the crowds down everywhere. And I don't know. I felt like really, really, you know, coming back, living in New York and having the quarantine, like it never occurred to me that I caught it, just because everybody was so well masked. They were really trying to keep social distance. When you're walking around the parks, aren't that bad. It's the fact that everybody's standing in line, but the lines are spaced too. So I don't.
My husband was happy. He never once got hit in the heels by a stroller.
That is something we can thank COVID for. Okay?
No tour
or a scooter or anything else. Right?
We did still a couple of times have the family that stretched across the entire walkway and like,
which is good luck. Yeah. I mean, what do you do now? Yeah,
I was like, they still managed to do that. It's crazy.
I would say after the sixth day of being there, like our attention on the day one of being in the park and where the lines were and how to social distance and if our mask was up or if it fell down off our nose was much different than on the sixth day. So by the sixth day, we were like, right. Like we were just like kind of getting more comfortable in the space. And I think, you know, we started blending on how, you know, where the lines specifically were. And if the mask fell off your nose and we were, you know, they were getting a little bit more.
Got a little bit more relaxed, like, huh?
Yeah. So, but you know, you've seen where we live, so.
Yeah. So, it's the boonies. So it's boonies,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was good though that, that they have reinforcements, I guess there to, you know, the little lines on the floor.
Just finishing up on that comment there, Amy says that we also did Narcoossee's in Whispering Canyon and it felt comfortable. Maybe the low ceilings at Sanaa made it seem more closed in. And then Mark was saying, my wife and I were thinking about a car for our next trip. I would recommend that. So yeah, especially if you're rope droppers.
We, based on what we just did, we're going with our daughter, hopefully in February, and I'm going to rent a car again because it's just, I don't know, is just so much easier. And, you know, even if you're going to, you know, if you're going to another resort, you can just drive over and everything like that. And, you know, cause even like doing a Lyft or an Uber doesn't leave me 100% comfortable because you don't know how that person's cleaning in there. So it's,
they've always been pretty clean though.
And then,
yeah, no, we've never had a problem, but I'm just saying it's not something we normally do, but I think right now we're going to do that.
Holly asked this question, and I think you mentioned it, that you did take an Uber to Hollywood Studios to get there that early.
So we took a Lyft, and because they don't let you in the parking lot that early, we actually knew that ahead of time. So we took a Lyft to Boardwalk, and we took a morning stroll along Boardwalk to go get in earlier than everybody else in the parking lots.
We were probably right behind you then, because that's, we were at Boardwalk, and our friends that were staying at Animal Kingdom drove to Boardwalk, and we walked from Boardwalk. But, you know, again, I thought like 9:15 would be plenty early, but I wasn't right.
No.
Which is still way more rest than I got last year, because last year I did Mickey's Halloween party until midnight, got back at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they opened the park at like 8, and we got there at 5:30, 6 a.m. So, I mean, like, we got no sleep last year. This year, we felt so rested every day. We all slept 8-9 hours every day, pool every day, hot tub every day. Like, it was nice.
Awesome.
And yeah, it really wasn't so bad having the parks close earlier. I mean, it was a couple nights we were at Epcot that was open till 9. So that was nice to get a couple later nights.
Without the fireworks. If it had fireworks, then we need a little bit more time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a piece that's missing. That and the live entertainment.
Before we switch into the next segment, Gina just reminded me that we forgot to do our ad read for today. So let me just go solo and do that one really quick. So today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVC Rental Store, where you can save thousands upon thousands of dollars on guaranteed reservations. Right now, they have guaranteed reservations available for about whenever you want to go. And be sure to check out their $10 point specials. They start at $10. Those go really, really, really fast. But you can find things as low as $10, $12, $14, $16 a point. Let them know you heard about them here on the Community Hall podcast by My DVC Points. DVCRentalStore.com. And normally they advertise with us to get members to give them their points because there is a huge point backlog or a backlog of demand for points. However, due to COVID right now, so many people can't travel that we have an abundance of points, and that means you can get some points dirt cheap. DVCRentalStore.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points platform. So thank you for that one. And let me come back into our normal show and let's ask the question, what didn't go so great? Okay.
So mine I would say is that I was sad that the cast members have to be shamers. I just wish that there was more of a balance of, like, instead of six people all making sure and like nitpicking everybody, I just miss that person that would walk by and say, "Hi, princess. Oh, you're gorgeous." And just give like little sparkle magic as they went. I did not feel any of that other than at Copper Creek. There was like the sweetest little old lady who was like, "Oh, sweetheart, I know the answer, but would you like some ice in that cup?" Right. One person. Everybody else was just, I felt like they were fatigued from having to be shamers.
From having to enforce all the rules, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
Pete, what do you think? I can see that.
Yeah. What do you think wasn't so great there?
So I know this wasn't in agreement with Alicia, but the way everything was, I really did miss FastPass because we always take advantage of it. And it's nice to be able to walk on those line on those rides and to know going in, okay, I'm going to have to wait in line for everything today. And I got to keep my eye on the app and I got to, you know, oh, there's the line short over here. Let's run across the park. I mean, we walked way more than we normally do at Magic Kingdom. We had two 25,000 step days. days. And I think they were both at Magic Kingdom, because normally you just kind of stick in one, you know, you plan one area, but we were kind of hopping back and forth. Okay, we got to ride this now. The line's short. And we'd go all the way across. And I just, you know, I like being able to, I don't like standing in lines. It's,
yeah, you're not
weird for someone that loves Disney, but
you can, when you've got fast passes, you can plan them out for your touring plans.
Right.
So for example, you could do one Magic Kingdom day where you do Jungle Cruise, Pirates, Splash Mountain. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next side, you stay over there in Tomorrowland for your fast passes and kind of work it that way. But I see your point. You're running.
And usually between rope drop and fast passes, you can pretty much get on all the big tickets without waiting. And in this particular case, you could maybe get on one of the big tickets a day without waiting. And so it wasn't that wasn't perfect to me. But it's funny, I think, though, I do get the appeal of people saying, oh, it'd be nice if they got rid of fast passes, because I think if they were loading rides at full capacity, it wouldn't have been bad at all. It was the problem that they, you know, they're only putting, you know, eight people on a Seven Dwarf Mine Train roller coaster car. So, you know, it makes the line move really slow, and having the social distancing makes the line look really long.
Plus removing the cleaning time, which is another,
the cleaning time,
be able to, but this is, keep in mind, that's a 25% capacity in the park. So,
but
I don't think fast passes are going anywhere.
Did you guys miss the shows or anything along those lines, or are you guys mainly just attraction people?
I would say I missed the live entertainment, like seeing the folks that just got laid off, like the Streetmosphere in Hollywood Studios, the Citizens of Hollywood, the different shows in World Showcase, you know, the Jaminators. Yeah, they were playing in the American Gardens Theater, but it wasn't really the same to have to like sit there and watch them. I like just coming across those things, you know.
And I come across them at Animal Kingdom, like the one with the boat. You know, and
like that was cool that they had some drummers on one of the boats. So
I'm assuming that they're going to come out with a few more like creative ways, like how Pooh Bear just comes out, you know, and you're like, oh, where'd he come from? You know, and things like that. So I think they're probably, you know, training or learning how to bring in more magical moments like that. Because it was really those little ones, you're like, hey, that's fun. But I also saw some new, has that Beauty and the Beast one always been an Epcot? Like, I didn't even know that was a show. So I don't know.
The sing-along? That happened like last year, maybe.
Oh, okay. I was like, hey, I didn't know this was here.
Was it open? I didn't think it was open.
Yeah, but it's just a movie. Oh. So.
Oh, okay.
You say Beauty and the Beast, are you talking about the floor show that was backed by Rock and Roller Coaster? That's been there for years.
No, she's saying at Epcot, they have
They
have sing-along. Impressions de France, they now have sing-along.
I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. So, you know, hopefully they'll come up with some new ways. But I did miss the fireworks. Like, you know, I'm a fireworks girl.
Fireworks and Fantasmic, it doesn't feel right. And as I said, but it's more like, they're trying to do things. I think having the little cavalcades that went through Magic Kingdom, I mean, it would be every, I didn't realize how often that was going to be. It's like every 15, 20 minutes, they have them coming down through Frontierland and Main Street. And
that's cool. On the bear, like where the bears are.
Yeah. And the bears were up above the Country Bear Jamboree building.
Yeah.
So it was that was cool, but like, it still wasn't what it usually is. So
I didn't see Ray walking around in Star Wars, you know, or no, I didn't see Chewie.
I mean, you had two stormtroopers that were up on the things, and that was about it. But and that's very true to me. Star Wars needs that land needs more of that.
Yes.
Having less of it.
It needs more stormtroopers out there going harassing
that land to me needs more character interaction with the crowds.
Off the immersiveness that you're in somebody else's city.
Exactly. Right? Because it's so much just like shops and, you know, food carts and things like that, that even walking around it, you're kind of like, okay, well, this is just Disney, you know. But when that stormtrooper comes by, or when, you know, Rey and Chewie come by, I really wish they would do more of that. I understand why they can't right now.
Got but it.
That's they need to continue to find ways to bring that live entertainment in.
And I think it's probably a funding thing, like the fireworks and everything. They're like, okay, if we have to, you know, safeguard our expenditures, what are the first things to go? And I swear that they went to every land and said, what's the first thing? I mean, did you see how, like, there's no water in Magic Kingdom and the river around, like, yeah, it was
still there when we were there. So
there was no water.
Strange.
Yeah.
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 Like, no, that happens occasionally, anytime. Right.
Yeah.
But they drain it for refurb.
I think the reason they've cut a lot of the things that they have is really just crowd control, because, you know, by having a parade at 3 o'clock, everybody would sit down for an hour beforehand and gather, and they just don't want that. Fireworks, everybody jams into the hub. They don't want that. So I think that's the main reason those were cut. I'm sure it benefits them also that they're saving money doing that too. But right. I do think they're worried about social distancing. So as I said, it kind of works out well that they just have these floats come out every once in a while, and it doesn't really, I mean, people kind of line up, but it doesn't really draw a crowd per Got se. It. So
I know for me, one of the big things was the entertainment and the cast was gone. And so it inspired me to create a new t-shirt. Okay. And so dvcswag.com is our t-shirt store. And I'll just do another quick shout out to our Copper Creek one. We have sold probably 50, 60 of these shirts and items so far. That says,
I can't wait. Mine's coming this week.
Yes. My cabin in the Florida mountain, Copper Creek villas. But over there to that point, I started thinking about, you know, this isn't so great without the cast members. And I thought of a creative, funny t-shirt. And so I came up with this one. So make Disney great again. So shop, dine, stay and play until all the cast members are back.
Nice.
So, yeah, I thought that was a kind of a fun political satire on the elections and the make America great thing again. So yeah. So make Disney great again.
And it's so cute because some people you see walking around and I interacted with, you know, just a gentleman, and I looked at him and I'm like, I'm thinking that your day job is something other than this. Cause he just looked completely like he walked like a certain character and talked like a certain character. I'm like, oh, I know what you do.
Got it.
He was so funny. He was almost goofy. He was just adorable.
Just a little bit there, right? And
but I do want to say, like, the cast members, I mean, I get what you're saying about the cast police, but they're still like super friendly and super happy to be there. And I do see that what you're saying is there's a little more, you know, let's stick to the rules. But there still was, I mean, especially in the restaurants and everything like that. And we talked to some cast members, and they're just, you know, the shops and everything, they're just really still great. We had no bad cast member experiences. So that's, maybe I'm getting back to what was awesome, but
yeah, there you go. Okay.
But overall, the one thing I was saying is, like, pack your patience, nothing, you know, there is no fast pass. There's not, you're not going to go fast. And then we got a cat here.
Really? But, where?
Yeah, that's my.
But it's really about, you're going to have to be patient. You want to, you know, you want to go on rides. You want to get some food. You got to do it ahead in the mobile app. You got to wait in line for the rides. You got to wait in line sometimes to get in the stores. You might have to wait longer for a bus. But just, you know, just kind of accept that it's going to be a little bit of a different trip. It reminded me. It kind of took me back to like 90s Disney before fast passes, where there weren't as many people in the parks, but the lines were really long.
So. There you go. So, Alicia, what lessons or tips have you learned from this experience, or wisdom to share with people?
So mine, I'm usually wear a shield a lot. And so I was like, oh, masks. And we have a lot of disposable masks. And so we brought the disposable masks. And then I saw all the cute little Disney masks. And I was like, okay, these are super fun. So we bought like tons of Disney masks. Okay, look how fun these are, right? And then the big thing is when you buy these, you get them on sale at, because of our DVC discount, oh my God, 30% off was scary for me. I bought lots of things, lots and lots of things. So these are like on sale for like $4. So what I did every day is I bought we bought like them every day. We bought a different mask almost every time we went there because for $4 and it made us want to wear a mask. Great. Okay. But they look tiny. So the big thing to when you get your mask, this is a large and I'm not a large person, but my husband could even fit in it. But in order to get it to work, these ear things, I pull them until they snap the seams. And I've washed this one 3 times and now it actually fits. And so that makes it nice. So otherwise they're just too small. They were pulling on your ears and things like that. So too make tight, sure. If,
right?
Yeah. They were just too small. So pulling those.
It's honestly a real problem with them. We ordered some ahead of time and we ordered large and it's big enough for my wife, but it isn't big enough for me. And then in the parks, there were zero extra large masks. It was just small, medium, and large. So if you're a bigger person and you want Disney masks, pre-order them because you can still order extra large online, but the parks did not have any.
And my husband, when he popped those seams, then he could wear them just fine.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll try that.
And it was nice having the DVC so we would wash them at night. Like that one is a huge perk having a washing machine.
Yeah,
very good. So Pete, any other final lessons learned or tips to share?
The other thing I would say is that I did a lot of DVC room tours and right now they are pretty much, I believe the only ones they aren't doing are Old Key West and Boulder Ridge Villas. And every other resort you can go and tour, depending on the resort, you can tour a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom grand villa, or at Copper Creek, it's the cabins. Poly, I think it's the bungalows. So if you are interested in a resort that you haven't stayed at before, but maybe interested in seeing what it's like, now's the time to do it because they're literally doing tours everywhere, which is not the normal way to go.
The Riviera tour was so fun. Our guide showed us all these hidden things and like so many great rooms. The 3-bedroom. Okay. Now I have to go back to that, resale place every day. How can I buy 700 points for like $2,000? I just need to figure that out.
The grand villa at Riviera was beautiful. The one that they took us in.
Huge.
But it's it's a good opportunity. And actually I put it into the show notes. There's a website there's a page which you can't get to just by finding it on the DVC website, but it's part of the DVC member page that actually lists what the different rooms are. They show you for each resort. So you can go there and you can look at what's available, but they're touring for the tours. So they're touring from like 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, all the resorts.
Post that into the comments for the show then. So, okay. Cause that would be helpful to see if you're coming back in, here's where you can come back in and see some villas there.
Yeah. We had like 45 minutes before our Topolino's reservation and we popped in and we're like, hey, I got an idea. Let's go take this tour. And we all had a great time. I think Will made a TikTok about it. So
nice. Well, you get the, did you still get the Riviera Rice Krispie treat?
I can't have Rice Krispie treats. I wish I could.
I didn't see any.
I didn't get the tour.
No.
Did you guys get the pin then? There's a really cool Riviera pin that you get if you go on the tour there.
No, they didn't have
the pins, but they're giving out.
Business card.
You got a business card. I got that too. They did give a little Riviera print with Minnie and Mickey. Did you get that, Alicia?
No, I got it. No.
They didn't give you that? Okay. Well, you get that. So.
But we got a TikTok, so I don't know.
I see. There you go. But
it looks like Gina put it up there. So.
Yeah, here we go. So.
I didn't set it up, though. Like, we just walked in the door, too. I didn't set up a reservation.
So it'd be the standard long deal Riviera, Discover DVC. So.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. Riviera. They told us that you should make a reservation ahead of time, and it sounds like you were able to walk up. But if you're interested in seeing Riviera, you may want to just call over there ahead of time. But all the other ones, we just walked up and it was no problem getting in.
Well, I think that pretty much puts a wrap up for our show today. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks Alicia, Peter, and Brad for joining us today. And with that being said and done, I'm going to roll the Patreon video and we will see you guys next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.